I'm Richard Fenneberg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 153 for the weekend starting 16 September 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about digital terrestrial television, and it's not good news.
Also this week, churches get into the MVNO game, MTN kills mobile money, and the Samsung Note 7 debacle.
Let's get the show on the road.
Well, welcome to the show. This is Beer Central. How's it?
Beer Central, how's it?
We decided after we had a couple of beers, when was it, 2-3 weeks ago during the show, that was a really good idea. So there's such a thriving craft beer industry in South Africa. And Rechart is a real beer snob, if you don't mind me calling you that.
No, not at all.
And in fact, you've got a beer podcast, don't you? Or a beer show?
Yeah, beer website / podcast / commentary called craftnation.co.za.
Go check that out. But Rechart's a bit of an expert when it comes to all things craft beer. So we thought in future, let's have a beer with the show and try some of the better South African craft beers that we come across and talk about them. So we're going to do exactly that. In fact, we've just poured ourselves something called, what is it, Richard?
This is from the Backward Bean Brewing Company, and it's the Kingslayer. It's an IPA. It's actually the first time I saw it in a bottle. I've had it before on tap at one or two beer festivals.
Yeah.
And while it was amazing on tap, I don't know, there's maybe something not so good about it in being a bottle. It's a great beer. It's a good tasting beer, but we were just talking about it before the show. It's just got this hint of something.
It's got an odd aroma behind it. Yeah. It's a nice beer. Don't get us wrong.
But once it's on the palate, it's fine. Mm. It's just an odd
aroma behind it.
It comes with very nice packaging, a little wood carved 3D carving that you can carry four beers with.
That's lovely packaging. I love the label as well. Cool. I'm not sure what the Kingslayer refers to, but it says the king is dead, long live the king.
Look, I'll certainly give it another try. I've had it before, and it's definitely not a bad beer, so yeah. I think this one might just be
the best. Brewed by Backwards Bean Company, 7 Sivrite Avenue, Johannesburg.
Yeah, they're in Mabuning District as well.
Okay.
Their Beagle is quite a nice beer. What's it called? The Beagle, yeah. I've had that a few times before. That's a kind of a proper English ale, English bitter ale.
So the one we're having is an IPA, is it?
This is an IPA, yeah.
Okay.
Not much information on the website. They should probably update it, but...
The Kingslayer's aroma is dominated by distinct notes of tropical and citrus fruit. The flavor is a complex mix of fruity hop character and a toasty, toffee-like maltiness. The malt sweetness is balanced by a moderate bitterness and supported by a smooth and warming alcohol richness. It's certainly not as... as hoppy as most IPAs.
As hoppy as many IPAs, yeah, I agree.
But I have lost
some in transit.
That aroma in the background is slightly off-putting. But it's still a good beer.
I've had it on tap, so I know that shouldn't be there. But it definitely means that I'll chat to the guys and see what they say.
Okay. If I was to give us a rating, I'd probably give it about 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk tech.
Not beer.
Although we will talk beer in future shows. Let us know what you think of the feature, by the way. If you're a beer drinker, even if you're not, would you rather us... I'm really stumbling over my words and I've only had two sips. We're going to talk lots of tech this week, but I think we're going to start just by having a quick chat about iOS 10. You use an iPhone, I use an iPad. How are you finding it?
It's a slick upgrade. I mean, I do like some of the notification features. You know, the windows that it shows up is a little bit different to the previous version. But what I like about it the most is the fact that it hasn't changed that much, if that makes any sense. So there's a lot of little sleek little improvements. But in terms of the overall look and feel, you know, everything still looks like good old iOS. The notification center, let me just swipe this again. So if you, it's like similar to Android, yeah. So if you swipe to the right on your home screen, it actually brings up a separate notification screen. It's similar to the one that you get when you swipe down.
Notifications has actually changed quite radically.
Yeah, it has. It looks more bubbly almost. Yeah, you know, they've definitely rounded the edges. In terms of performance, I haven't used it enough to say that it's much faster. I've heard a lot of people say it is a bit quicker.
It seems quicker on my iPad. I've got an iPad Air 2, and it seems pretty slick.
Well, I've been using this iPhone 6S now for probably 3 weeks, and it was already a bit quicker than the iPhone 6. So for me to...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not picking up much of a speed difference, but it's already... I mean,
sure,
it's quick. What is incredibly speedy now is when I unlock the phone...
Yeah.
You almost don't have a chance to read your notifications. I mean, once I put my finger on there, usually it just opens up. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, the demo curse is...
Things never work in demos,
But, yeah, look, I like it. I've always liked iOS 10 upgrades, especially just the tweaks they've made. But I haven't explored all the other features that they've introduced. We're speaking about Siri with the new Afrikaans or South African accent.
Yes, that is interesting. I didn't even know it was there. I mean, Apple didn't announce it. I was just fiddling around, and I noticed that in the settings there was a South African version of Siri. And it's I don't know about this accent. It sounds like there's something slightly off about it. But let's let our listeners be the judge of this. Hi Siri, what's the weather going to be like this weekend?
Here's the forecast for this weekend.
Yeah, it's close, but it's not quite there.
They've rounded certain things, and you can see, they've tried to emphasize certain parts of a word to kind of get that South African accent down.
Yeah. I wonder if they've, they must have done some work as well in understanding and interpreting the South African accent, one assumes.
Yeah.
South African English is now an option in inside Siri. Let's try it again with something else. What can I ask Siri? Tell me a bit about yourself.
I'm Siri, here to help.
Yeah, it's not quite right.
Yeah.
It's not quite right. It needs some work.
It's like they took the British language and they just, like I said, rounded it a bit.
Mm. Yeah, it's not quite there. But I wonder how good it's gotten at actually picking up South African accents.
I'm sure understanding us would be a lot simpler now.
Mm. Hey, Boet, take me to the East Rand.
That's funny.
That interpreted as
hate. Watch the Strand. Tap the one you want.
Hey,
tap the one you want.
Hey, take me to the Strand. Well, it found Nashua Central Stand, 155 Industrial Road, Johannesburg.
Clearly, it hasn't reached the south yet.
Anyway,
one of the other things I noticed that was quite nice is in the messaging, iMessage. You know, they've refined some of the features in terms of messaging. What you can do, you can share app this new thing called stickers. I haven't really played with it yet, but I mean, I've installed a Mario Brothers sticker and you can paste it, and it's kind of like emoticons on steroids, I think. What is interesting though is they've introduced this new kind of... It reminds me very much of that drawing feature on the iWatch, where you could send somebody a kind of a little scribble and it pops up on their side with a vibration.
Okay.
So yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, but you have to be on iOS 10 to get it. So I can just do a little scribble, draw a heart or something if I want to send to my wife or if I'm that romantically inclined. But yeah, you can just do different colors, do a little scribble, a little message, and send that off.
Oh, that's quite cool.
And then it pops up on the other side.
That'd be better if you had a stylus.
Draw it. Yeah, it's quite accurate with the finger, but I mean, I haven't really seen a need for it yet, that's yet to be determined. But it's a fun little feature. I think people will like it.
Cool. But in general, it looks like a good OS release. No major reports of bugs. I think a couple of people had some problems with the update, which was fixed quite quickly.
Yeah, I think that was a very early issue.
People who were downloading in the first half hour ran into some issues. But generally, it seems pretty good. But we spoke a lot about Apple last week, so let's move on to
the quiz, actually, because we didn't do that yet.
That's a good point. We've got so much to remember now. Beer.
Ads.
In fact, after the beer, you don't tend to remember the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do the quiz. Do you want to do the first question?
Yes. Question number one. How many set-top boxes have been made locally so far for South Africa's digital migration program?
The second question, when will the Constitutional Court hear the case between the Minister of Communications, Faith Mutambi, and MultiChoice versus ETV over encryption in those set-top boxes?
Third question, Sony has announced a new PlayStation. What is it called?
Fourth question, what is the name of the first ever standalone Star Wars movie being released in 3 months' time?
I'm not sure if I'm that excited about it, I must be honest with you.
I must just say I'm not a Star Wars fan. I don't even know why I put this question.
You're a bit of a Trekkie too.
I'm a Trekkie, absolutely.
Go Star Wars. Fifth question. MTN this week announced it had raised 3 loans. How much money did it raise? And we're looking for the dollar or the rand amount here.
Cool. Well, let's get stuck into the news. We'll get to the answers to the quiz at the end of the show. But lots happening in Parliament this week in the Portfolio Committee, with Faith Mutumbi and the Department of Communications presenting the latest on the digital migration project. Mutumbi putting on her best face on this project and saying good progress is being made. In fact, we ran a column from her that she wrote for us this week. Unfortunately, not much is happening, and not much is going to happen until the court case, the constitutional court case, which is going to be heard on the 17th of February next year, where it'll be decided once and for all whether these boxes are going to have encryption in them and whether the South Africa's DTT signal will be encrypted. Now, I'm not going to rehash all the history here. I think listeners to the show and readers of the website know the history quite well by now, and the war between MultiChoice and ETV over encryption and how this has really pulled the ANC in different directions. But we're finally going to hear that court case, have that court case held in February, and hopefully not too long after that. I'd imagine a couple of months. The Constitutional Court will hopefully hand down judgment on that matter. But some interesting statistics that were revealed by the Department of Communications in Parliament this week. And the first of those is that that the set-top box manufacturers have produced close to around about 650,000 TV set-top boxes already. These are the locally manufactured ones. There's three companies that have done this so far. CZ Electronics, which is a manufacturer based out of Boxburg, they've produced the most so far, followed by a company called Lera Tadema and a company called Boer Africa. Boer Africa has been contracted to make the Director Home satellite set-top boxes, so these are the ones that are going to be used in areas where Centec hasn't provided digital coverage, and that includes in the Square Kilometre Array Radio Telescope Interference Free Zone around that telescope project, where radio interference cannot be permitted because of the sensitivity of those instruments. So far, the government has paid over 306.5 million rand, 120.6 million rand and 14.3 million rand respectively to the three manufacturers for the manufacture of these set-top boxes. But it was revealed this morning that USASA, which is the Underserviced Area Access Agency of South Africa, the company that is actually responsible for these tenders and getting these boxes out into the field and the aerials and satellite dishes that go with it, has put the whole project on ice because of the ETV victory that the victory that ETV secured at the Supreme Court of Appeal a couple of months ago now in Bloemfontein, which overruled the Minister of Communications on the encryption issue. This is the issue that's now heading to the Constitutional Court. So SARS has decided that we're not going to, these companies must stop making these set-top boxes immediately until this issue has been resolved by the Constitutional Court. Now, what happens if the Constitutional Court decides that actually ETV is right and there should be encryption in these boxes? What happens to these 650,000 boxes? Can they simply be retrofitted? I mean, they're all sitting at the post office now waiting for distribution. Can they be retrofitted? Can a chip be inserted into them? I don't know. It's probably worth having a conversation with these set-top box manufacturers to find out if that can be done. Do we have to scrap these 650,000
boxes? I would be surprised. I mean, I guess you can. This can go two ways. I mean, if these guys were on top of the on the ball with these things, on top of the game, they would have made sure that those things would be technically able to be upgraded to something.
Yes.
If they were on the other side of the fence and wanted to make some more money out of it, they would have made it upgrade, or you know, they would have prevented it from being upgradable, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tricky one.
It's a very tricky one.
It could potentially be a very costly one as well.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So these manufacturers have actually been contracted to produce 1.5 million rand, so 500,000, so 1.5 million set-top boxes, 500,000 each. As I said, CZ Electronics has produced the most of them. They've produced the bulk of them already, of their order. The other two have produced only a minority of the set-top boxes that were asked from the government. And the government's also given orders to three other companies to produce terrestrial aerials and satellite dishes. Satellite dishes, of course, used in the SKA area and in areas where there's no Centec coverage. And those companies have also been producing these things. No word from USASA if those have also actually been put on ice for the moment. I would imagine that that's probably not necessary because encryption doesn't really impact on the aerial technology. But it's a mess as always. But I think we're finally going to have closure on this once the Constitutional Court makes its hands down its judgment. And hopefully once that happens, especially if they find in favor of the minister, because then we don't have to go through this retrofitting process.
Mm.
Hopefully we can get on with this process then very quickly.
How long have we been talking about this? What, 2 years already now?
Oh, more than, much yes. more than, yeah, much longer than that. And of course, the other flip side of the coin here is what's going to happen with Spectrum, and that's also a legal mess. The court case, the dates for that, I think it's been set down for the 27th and 28th of this month, the minister versus ICASA. This is the telecoms minister versus ICASA over the planned Spectrum auction. Another mess in the making, potentially.
Sure.
This one's just getting to the start of the phase, the High Court. If it was all the way to the Constitutional Court, probably another 3 to 5 years.
At least fibre's making headway in the country.
Yeah, indeed. By the time all of this is sorted out, terrestrial television will be less relevant.
Will probably be obsolete in some ways.
In some ways, it will be. Certainly in more well-to-do households. The problem here is that this is mainly going to affect people in lower LSMs, as they say, people who don't have fibre at home. And but it, of course, also affects the ability of those people to watch... those people in those LSMs to watch content on demand over the internet, because the spectrum hasn't been made available that would facilitate cheaper broadband, wireless broadband.
But I like to think also that, you know, headway's making fibre, it is causing a lot of Wi-Fi / service providers in these communities to be able to probably provide better service, you know, last mile kind of wireless services to them. Which there's going to be a need for that, especially when you know, people can't get access to television signal.
Yeah. Anyway, Sentex completed its rollout, so if you actually want to watch, if you're that way inclined and you're still interested in terrestrial television, you can actually watch it right now. You can just go down to your supermarket, buy a... well, actually, I don't know if you can really get them on the shelves in the supermarkets yet. You can certainly order one online, plug it into your TV and watch DTT. SABC, ETV, and Mnet have all launched... services. Mnet, you'd obviously have to get a special box from them because it's encrypted. But the free-to-air channels from SABC, I think they've launched 4 or 5. I think ETV's got 5 or 6. They're there already. You can just get a box and plug it in.
What happened to all the other satellite providers? I mean, was it Top TV?
Top TV is now called StarSat. They were in business rescue for about 2 years. They've recently come out of it, but they're very quiet. Not clear what they're up to or how well they're doing. I think the answer is probably not very well. They're there,
but yeah, I don't hear anybody talking about them. No. And, you know, across a lot of, I mean, most people. No, they.
I think they ran into a lot of problems. They were poorly managed, but they also came up against an incredibly difficult competitor in the form of MultiChoice, who saw them coming and immediately launched packages directly in the markets in which they operate, including, I mean, DStv Compact was very clearly a response to Top TV / StarSat, and Compact has the soccer. You know, they quickly moved to sign up the Premier Soccer League and all that sort of stuff, which is clearly aimed at the same audience that StarSat was going to go after. And it was very difficult. There's a Competition Commission complaint, and I'm surprised it hasn't gone anywhere. It was lodged by what was then Top TV, now StarSat, a couple of years ago now, over negotiations that fell through with MultiChoice. Where Top TV was looking to secure a couple of the Supersport channels for the Top TV platform. Supersport seemed interested, but the management team at MultiChoice, which is the parent of Supersport, it appears, basically said, no, we're not going to do this. And that's the subject of a very interesting complaint that's still sitting at the Competition Commission. I don't know why the Competition Commission hasn't begun an investigation on that. It hasn't closed the case, apparently. It's just sitting there. Because if they wanted to get involved in that market, and if the Competition Commission wanted to get involved in that market and do a proper investigation of competition in the pay TV market, it's something that, by the way, ICASA is doing, but I don't think ICASA has the resources to do it. In fact, I know it doesn't have the resources to do anything meaningful. The Competition Commission, on the other hand, does. So I find it a bit strange that they haven't decided to pick it up. Maybe they have other things on their plate that they've had to worry about.
But those lucrative sports rights, I mean, it's people will fight hard to retain those, because once you kind of lose a little bit, it's going to be good for the consumer.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the only thing I miss from not having DStv is being able to watch the rugby tomorrow morning, you know.
I'm not sure that, I mean, I'm a bit of a free marketeer, and I'm not sure that the competition authority should be intervening in the market. MultiChoice has run a very solid, smart operation. Should they be punished in any way for having done that? I'm not sure they should be. But I still think an investigation by the Competition Commission would be interesting, because it would throw up a lot of arguments about state of competition in the pay television market in South Africa, and and it would lead to a lot of discussion, which I think would be healthy. I'm not sure regulatory intervention is the right thing to do, but I think it would be useful to have that discussion. So let's hope the Competition Commission does have a look at it at some point. They've certainly been sitting on it for long enough. Anyway, very interesting story that we broke this morning on Tech Central about a church group, a large church group, which claims to have 2 million followers in South Africa, getting into the MVNO market, or the mobile virtual network operator market. Now, this is an MVNO that's been launched by MVNX, which is the company started by Steve Bailey, formerly of Virgin Mobile. And he's launched a whole lot of these MVNOs now, including Boxcel, which is the first Afrikaans only mobile network, and of course MRP Mobile. He's done.
Can you only speak Afrikaans in that network?
But apparently you can speak English, but I think all if you're in the call center, you're going to have to speak Afrikaans. Of course, he's done MRP Mobile with Mr. Price, Me and You Mobile, I think we all know, and a number of smaller ones. But he's now announced that they're doing an MVNO with this church group. Now, I'm just bringing up the story here. They're really interesting. Really interesting story. They this is a church group founded by someone by the name of Shepherd Bushiri, and he claims to be a prophet of God. And I've done a bit of research on this guy this morning. He's quite controversial. There's a very interesting article on the Daily Mail Online. So, you know, Daily Mail Online is known as being a bit of a tabloid. So take what you read with a bit of a pinch of salt. But an interesting character who claims to have bought a Gulfstream jet but wouldn't show it to anyone. Claims to be able to walk on air. There's a video on YouTube of this. But it's very clear that if you watch the video very carefully, you'll see that he's actually being held up by someone. Obviously. he's known to his followers as Major One. If you sign up, Rechot, take note, if you sign up, you can get limited edition SIM cards signed by Bushiri personally.
Nice. Okay, let's do it. I've got an old phone somewhere that I need to fill up.
Anyway, he founded both the Enlightened Christian Gathering ECG Church and Shepherd Bushiri Ministries International. Now, reading through his CV, he claimed he was visited by Jesus when he was 6 years old, or 8 years old, I think it was, and has been in regular contact with God, who has appointed him as a prophet on earth to spread the word. And he's got a lot of followers. He has more than 1 million followers on Facebook. A million followers on Facebook. Religion is a big business,
clearly. Yeah, and it is.
And this MVNO, it's called PSB Network. It's going to piggyback on Cell C's network, as all MVNX customers do. And they're offering their congregants, I guess you'd call them, calls at 99 cents a minute on per second billing, and a range of data options which look decidedly average to me. They start at 10 Rand for 15 megabytes and go up to 250 Rand for 2 gigs. So pretty pricey, actually.
2012 pricing, maybe?
Yeah. Certainly pricey next to Telkom mobile pricing. Probably in line with what the other operators charge for data.
I mean, he's obviously seen an opportunity. If you have a million potential followers who, if you look at maybe a percentage of those would buy some cards from you and use those actively.
Yeah.
I could make some money off of this.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, this is a for-profit venture. Profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, not PhD. Well, I suppose in this case it's both. they're having a big launch this Saturday at Gallagher Estate, where they're expecting over 5,000 people to pitch up. And apparently they've received more than 5,000 sign-ups ahead of the official launch this weekend. As I said, limited edition SIM card signed by Bushiri himself. He's a Malawian, by the way, but he's got churches across sub-Saharan Africa. And according to his website, he's got a number of business interests, including from what I can tell, in agriculture, mining. He owns a hotel in the Northwest Province. And it all started after he got apparently a visitation from God. So there we go. Can't go wrong, can he?
Yeah. From religion to SIM cards, there's a book in there.
I'm surprised you didn't call it Godnet. Anyway, it's...
I would have signed up to that, actually. Wow. You can do the marketing right on that one. You can even speak to God, maybe.
Yeah, don't tell Tim Cook about this. Yeah, it's called PSB Network. If you want to find out more about it, go to mypsb.co.za. So there we go. Religion and telecoms. Never thought it would come to it, but there we go. And there's probably a massive market for it, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we laugh, but...
No, it is.
But, I mean, I know that a couple of years ago, Vodacom had some sort of deal with the Zionists, you know, the Moriah City Zionists. And that's a massive
organization.
Yeah, massive, massive organization. I mean, you go up to Moriah City up near... I mean, I go up there quite often because I go trail running in the Hainesburg area, in those forests there. And you go past Moriah City and... most of the time it's sitting empty, but you go up there, I think it's at Easter time, and you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
It's absolute chaos. I mean, the number of people there and the scale of that religion is absolutely amazing. And it's not only South Africa. The whole of Africa is very religious, very Christian. Mm. Nigeria, Ghana. Ghana is the most amazing religious country. Malawi, where this pastor comes from. There's a huge opportunity, and I would not be surprised if this is just the first of many MVNOs that get launched to target religious communities across the continent.
Yeah. I think that's where the magic of an MVNO lies. You know, you just have to target a small community.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you can work out a deal to give your community or your members cheaper, number-to-number calls, you know, then you've got an even better proposition for those small communities.
No, it's a massive, massive, and we say niche. I mean, there's, these...
Millionaires in the niche.
Yeah, 2 million followers, apparently.
Sure.
2 million. Incredible. Anyway, I think at that point, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, world. Hello, information. Hello, uploads and downloads. Hello, streaming videos and low latency. Hello, blogs and vlogs. Hello, crystal clear video calls. Hello, increased productivity. Hello, online learning. Hello, cloud. Hello, long lost friends and missed connections. Hello, limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high-speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. So from religion and MVNOs to MTN mobile money. And it's been 4 months since Vodacom pulled the plug on M-Pesa in South Africa. I think it took everyone a little bit by surprise.
Yeah,
and now MTN has done the same thing with its mobile money offering. It has announced it has pulled the plug on it. It's bizarre. Mobile money is doing so well elsewhere in Africa. Tanzania.
I thought it was doing well here, but clearly not.
No.
Look, I mean, the only thing I can think of that could have been a competition to this and potentially what more people would have used is a lot of the banks have now come up with similar...
I think that's exactly what it is.
Senders. I can send money to an ATM to a cell phone number, or you can send it straight to a cell phone number and they go to the ATM and pick it up. And it makes a lot of sense to do that. Maybe they just didn't have enough pull with the consumer market.
I would guess it's the competition from the banking sector. We've got a very well-developed banking sector in South Africa. And the banking sector launched those low-cost Mzansi accounts a few years ago. Mm. And I think they brought in millions of new customers. So I think people who want to be banked in South Africa are banked. I think there's probably a large minority in South Africa who simply do not want to be banked because they don't want to be brought into the formal system where they're going to be noticed by organizations like the South African Revenue Service. I think people in South Africa generally who want to be banked are already banked through things like those in Mzansi bank accounts or just through the regular banking system. And competition in banking has gone up significantly in recent years. I mean, we've seen the introduction of Capitec into this market, and they've really gone after that market that's very sensitive to bank fees.
Yeah.
And they've been extremely successful at it. It seems to me that the market is just, the mobile operators were going after a market that wasn't there.
It also shows you that the consumers entrust the banks more than what they do the mobile operators. Maybe,
and I think that's a very good point. I think that's exactly the other point. I think that's the other reason they haven't done this, is the banks hold more trust amongst consumers than the mobile operators. And when you get subscribed to as I did the other day on Vodacom, as you get subscribed without even you knowing about it sometimes to these value-added content services, I got added to something that was billing me R5 a day when I didn't even opt into it.
How did you notice that you had that?
Because I noticed it on my account. I had a fight with Vodacom about it, and eventually they reversed it. But, you know, if this stuff is allowed on their networks, then it doesn't engender trust with the mobile operators.
What can they do with your bank account?
I mean, if this... I'm a sophisticated consumer who writes about technology and understands this industry intimately. I am not going to trust my mobile operator with my money.
Mm.
I'm not.
I agree. I mean, if people can switch SIM cards easily enough, you know, to go to the best deal where the best deal is.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't entrust too much.
So, perhaps it was inevitable that this was going to happen. Anyway, so MTN Mobile Money has been written off. They say they're not giving up on financial services. And as a group, they certainly aren't. I mean, they've hired Rob Shooter, who's, you know, formerly with Nedbank. I think he was the deputy. He was the MD of retail banking at Nedbank, if I remember correctly. They've hired a heavy hitter, Stephen van Koller from Absa. They're clearly seeing financial services as their future, but clearly here in South Africa, they underestimated just how difficult it would be to compete with the banks.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a very sophisticated banking system in South Africa. These banks, I mean, our banking system is often, our financial services sector more broadly is often regarded by, in surveys that you see and international reports as being one of the 10 most sophisticated financial services sectors in the world.
Yeah, and we've launched so many firsts as well. I mean, you know, these guys are serious about what they want to do.
And our banks do keep an, I mean, the banks here locally, I mean, Strate has got a conference on blockchain next week. Absa did some blockchain innovation last week. I mean, they really are at the cutting edge, and they really
bots,
are.
Was it Absa that did the bots thing where they can chat to bots now on a messaging platform to get banking information?
Might have been. I'm not sure. But
I mean, that's pretty advanced for a bank to implement right now, a bot system. Which
I know Absa was doing a Twitter banking, which I believe they've run into some challenges around. But. But the banks, they are very keen to be seen to be innovating, and they do innovate in some areas. MTN Mobile Money is, in South Africa at least, has been scrapped. Mobile money services for MTN are flying in other markets. In Uganda, they're doing very well, in Nigeria. So it's not like it's a global failure. It's just here in South Africa. And it has to be the strong banks that are keeping it out.
It also shows you, I mean, we often speak about markets, Africa versus South Africa versus the rest of Africa. And I think this also shows you how different things can be in a technology space.
Yeah.
I guess with anything in the world, you know, it takes off one place, but it completely fails in another.
Mm. Yeah.
Almost like the Note 7.
Almost like
the Note 7.
Good segue there. and the Note 7, exploding batteries. A germ who does the cartoons for Tech Central. Good cartoon this week. Did you see it? Kind of making the lack of a headphone jack in the iPhone 7 fade into insignificance when the phone blows up in your face.
This is brilliant.
It was very good.
Well done, germ.
I think Samsung's been handling it quite well, don't you think?
Yeah, I have. I mean, the way that they've... I mean, I don't know what they did locally, but the way that they... I've seen reports in America, for example, in Europe, where they've, you know, did the recall very quickly, very efficiently, told people what to do, what not to do. They brought out the app update that prevented overcharging on the phone. Look, it's going to be a big knock for them, especially in light of the launch of, you know, the new iPhones.
Yeah.
But... if they handle it well and replace devices, or at least give people a way to get a better device or a new device,
I think they'll retain
the customer.
I think it came at a very unfortunate time for Samsung. I mean, they announced this thing a month before the iPhone 7, and the reviews. I haven't personally played with the device, but I've seen it. I've had it in my hand, but I haven't had a chance to properly look at it and review it. For those who have, mainly the American tech blogs and websites have all been raving about it. They say this is the best phone that Samsung has ever made. Well done, Samsung. This is this is a fantastic device. You've hit the ball out of the park on this one. I think it's unfortunate that this battery issue,
which doesn't show how bad the phone. I mean, the phone is still a good phone. It's just this one component that was obviously badly manufactured.
Yes,
I don't know who actually does the batteries. It's a
division of Samsung. It's a division of Samsung.
I'm sure somebody's going to get laid off for that.
They take it quite seriously in Korea. So it's South Korea, so they don't chop your head off like in North Korea. But
it'll just disappear.
Yes. it is unfortunate that because it is apparently a fantastic device. One of the contenders for phone of the year. And unfortunate, of course, that these problems occurred just before Apple launched the iPhone 7.
I'm surprised. I mean, it must have been a pretty massive problem too if they couldn't just upgrade the battery, tell customers bring your phone back in, we'll upgrade the battery or whatever.
Apparently 26 people, according to a story on The Verge, have been hurt already by these exploding batteries.
I hear about a recall this morning?
Yeah, in the States, but they're doing I think they're recalling a million of them in the US, but they apparently a Jeep caught fire or something and burnt to the ground.
Jeez.
From one of these exploding batteries. Well, I don't think they actually explode. I think they just catch fire.
They just catch fire, and then obviously everything. I mean, that's not the kind of fire you want to be involved in when it goes.
No. But they had to do a global recall. But I think they've handled it perfectly. I mean, it's obviously a disaster for them, but they've so far handled it exactly as they should. And all the analysts I spoke to this week about it have said that this is going to be a short term blip for Samsung. A year from now, we probably won't even remember it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they'll find another purpose for these devices. I'm sure they'll repurpose them. And not a good time for them, but I guess it's technology. You can't always predict what's going to fail on your device.
No, indeed. I mean, it's amazing complexity built into these phones. There we go. Anyway. I'm actually looking forward to seeing this phone when it eventually gets to the South African market. I think it should have been launched here already, but obviously it was delayed because of the...
They would have pulled it completely.
They pulled it, yeah. Luckily for Samsung South Africa, they hadn't actually gone on sale here yet, so they didn't have to do a recall. Presumably it was probably in warehouses here already, or on its way into warehouses here, and they put that back to Korea. I see in Korea they actually gave all their users who bought it a temporary replacement phone while the Note 7's battery was being fixed.
Oh, so they actually did fix batteries in different parts of the world. Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's not... Yeah, I'm surprised they wouldn't do that across the globe, somehow. Maybe they've calculated that recall is just cheaper, I guess.
Mm. Anyway, that covers the news this week. It was quite a busy news week. Let's move on to our regular features. I picked our winner this week, and it's a JSE listed, a bit of an odd one for a winner, I suppose, but it's a JSE listed technology group that has been growing at an amazing speed for a very long time. It's a company called EOH, Enterprise Outsource Holdings. It was what they used to stand for. I don't think they stand for that anymore. I think they're just called EOH these days. And the South African economy is in a mess. We're not growing. The latest quarterly numbers weren't too bad. But generally speaking, the South African economy is in a mess. But EOH continues to outperform despite it, and has done so for as far back as I can remember, at least 10 years. They've grown year in and year out. So they've produced a robust set of results. This is for the year ended 31 July 2016. Headline earnings per share rose by a quarter to R7.19, a quarter, 25% in this economy, on the back of a 31% improvement in revenue to 12.8 billion rand, and operating profit up by 37% to 1.4 billion rand. Hiked their dividend by 23% to R1.85. I mean, this is phenomenal performance in an economy that is in serious trouble. I actually don't know how they do it, and there's a lot of skepticism about how this company keeps doing this. I mean, they've always had a mixture of acquisitive and organic growth, and it's always worked for them. They go after companies, they buy them, they integrate them very quickly into their culture, and they keep growing and they keep doing it, and they've got a very successful formula going here. Asher Bobart, who started the company, I forget when it was, probably 15, 20 years ago now. I think they listed back in 1998, if I'm not mistaken, during that listings boom when a lot of IT companies fell over and died. EOH is one of the kind of almost like the phoenix that rose from the ashes, and they continue to grow at an incredible rate even in this economy. And the share price is performing as well. I saw an analyst report this week. It's currently at 150 rand. An analyst report this week saying they could go to 190 to 200 rand based on this performance. Sure. I should say I'm not a shareholder, so I'm not punting the share.
I should have been.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our pick this week. EOH. They continue to defy the odds. Maybe I should take a punt on them.
Yeah, no, you should.
Anyway, I won't talk too long about our loser this week. It's Samsung. I was actually thinking of making them the winner in a way because of the way they've handled this crisis so well. But unfortunate for them, the Note 7 battery debacle took $22 billion off their market cap in 2 days last week. And that's after a number of airlines, including the Federal Aviation Administration in the US, warned about using these devices in flight. In fact, South African Airways also said you may not charge the Note 7 on any of our flights because of these concerns. And that's actually the warnings from the airlines and the regulators of the airlines was the thing that really sent the share price tumbling down. It actually hadn't moved much before. After the Note 7 battery debacle occurred, it only moved when airlines started warning about it, which is weird.
Yeah, when people's lives occur.
But anyway, Samsung is our loser this week.
It is unfortunate. I mean, yeah. I think, especially if you look at what these companies do before they launch a product, for something as critical as that to still, in today's day and age, get through the kind of the quality check process. I mean, it's a pretty big thing across many levels. So, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to our picks of the week. What have you got, Richard?
So I've been playing with drones for a little bit, photographing, doing some video and stuff.
You've been playing with some friggin' awesome.
Yeah, some incredible video-capable toys. But a few weeks ago, actually, more than probably a month and a half ago, so I came across a set of small drones from a company called Yixin. It's a Chinese manufacturing, obviously, but they've got this incredible range of little mini drones and some racer drones. But this particular one that I've got here, this is called the H8S, and it's very small, very tiny, fits in the palm of your hand. I mean, it's a toy drone, essentially. Yeah. I bought it on a website called Banggood.com.
How do you spell it?
Banggood, Banggood. .com.
Okay.
And these things cost 250 odd rand. I mean, depending on your level, your kind of tier level when you buy with them. The more you buy, and if you buy bulk, you get certain discounts. But
yeah.
So this is just a very good online retailer. You can actually get a lot of cool stuff on there.
Okay.
But this little drone is just a fun little toy that you can play with. It's remarkably hardy. I mean, I've crashed this into so many things, but it's also incredibly versatile. And I've just had the most fun playing with it. I mean, so let me show you. It's got a little plastic controller that it comes with.
Yeah.
You'll notice it's got some LED lights underneath there. So blue is back, red
looks
is front.
It looks like a police car.
It does. But I mean,
wow, look at that.
I'm just flying it here. And it might be a bit noisy for the microphone. But you can do flips and you can fly, and you can crash. Like I just did. No. What's nice about this, like I said, it's very resilient for about 250, 300 rand if you import it and pay the importing. But it's a nice toy.
It sounds like an angry mosquito.
It is an angry mosquito. The cats also love it. I know it's probably very noisy on the microphone. But yeah, it's a great little toy. A company called Yixin, they've got some really impressive products. What I do like about this, and what kind of got me onto this, is the fact that every part of that can be replaced.
Yeah.
This isn't a kind of a factory molded unit. I can replace the motors, I can replace the circuit board, I can replace the blades. So if you want to get to the hobbyist side of things too, there's a few things you can do with this type of drone. Let me just kind of pick it up again. But that's my pick, the H8S.
No, it's very cool. It does look like a police car with the red and blue lights on it. But 250 bucks, you say?
Yeah, well, 300 bucks if you consider, couring it in here, and I bought a few.
Okay.
But this is actually an old model. The new ones that they've got
now. But for kids, it's fantastic. I mean, most people can't afford to buy one of these expensive drones, but if you want to just understand how the tech works, and if you're a kid, this is a fantastic way into it.
Exactly. It's well worth getting one of these kind of small drones just to get a feel for how they do. And what reminded me the most is, I'm sure as a kid, you also remember playing with remote control cars, right?
Yeah.
There you had kind of, you could only drive on a surface and, kind of the the earth or the ground around you was your tracks. Well, yeah. This thing, what's quite cool is now you've got four-dimensional space or physical space around you that you can fly around in. And
Four-dimensional.
Time as well. I meant three-dimensional. But yeah, I mean, it's from that point of view, it's remote control on steroids. Yeah, and they've got different ones with cameras.
Can you mount something on that?
There are other models that come with camera, but obviously the quality is not that good.
Sure.
It's not what I wanted when I bought this. I just wanted the fun little fly around the garden or fly around the house.
I think you've lost one of the propellers.
Yeah, this one always pops off. But you get a pack of propellers. Like I said, everything is replaceable.
Yeah.
Battery lasts about 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's more than enough to have some fun with.
Yeah. And I'm sure your pets would have enormous fun with this as well.
My cats love it. Yeah. They chase it and I drop it and they run after it and check it out. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Brilliant. We'll put the link on the show notes if you're interested in going to check out that and get one of those, or get lots of them at that price.
Yeah, we want to get a few.
My pick this week is Google Duo. Have you played with it yet?
No, I haven't.
No, I think it's available for iOS. Go grab it in the store. It's quite cool.
Yeah.
In fact, install it now. We'll have a quick video.
Let's do it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's basically Google's answer to FaceTime, Apple's video calling software. And I'm actually pretty blown away with it. I've taken a number of calls now on both 3G and LTE connections, just wandering around town. I was away 2 weeks ago, and I spoke to my wife, just wanted to know how the dogs are doing and stuff. And I was down at the coast on an LTE connection. The quality was fantastic, and she showed me the dogs running around, and it was really good. I haven't really used FaceTime before, but I've spoken to people who are using Duo and have used FaceTime, and they say it's a very equivalent sort of service, but they apparently the compression algorithms on Duo may be even better on the Apple software.
Well, I mean, what's nice about Duo is the fact you can call Android devices. FaceTime, obviously.
FaceTime is Apple only. Apple, exactly, yeah. So it's pretty cool. So I'm going to open
this installing, yeah.
Okay, so we're just going to get this up. So I'm calling Rechard here over Duo. It should show your face on your screen before you even answer.
I didn't actually check that. Should we do that again?
Unfortunately, Duo has crashed.
Stopped working.
Oh dear.
Weak Wi-Fi.
Anyway, let's start that again.
Let's just start.
Let me switch my Wi-Fi on because I've got a dodgy connection here from Telkom.
You switch your Wi-Fi on or off? Oh,
I'm switching it on, because it was... I was on 3G rather than LTE.
Okay, so I'll stay on the Wi-Fi then.
Okay, cool.
Maybe we should start with... Okay, I'll just say I've installed it.
Okay.
All right, I've quickly installed Duo. It's on my phone now.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a quick call, Rechard. Let me just find your name here in my contacts. So it's dialing now. You should see my face on your screen. Hopefully it doesn't crack your screen.
No, it's actually showing up just that. Maybe it's a setting.
Oh, that's interesting. It must be a setting. Okay. All right, cool.
I'll check it out now. So I'm answering it.
Oh, there you go. It showed
when it opened up the...
Whoa, okay, we're in the same room. We're getting lots of feedback.
Yeah, I've turned down. We're good now. We should be good now.
All right, cool. So it's pretty cool. It's a very simple interface. You click on it, you can reverse the camera, which I like. So if you want to see what the other person's looking at, I'm just going to actually kill the sound on mine as well so we don't get all this reverb.
Yeah, there is a bit of a noise.
So basically you've got a mute button, a option to reverse the camera and to end the call. It's very simple and it works really well. And as you can see, the compression they're using is obviously very good because the quality of their video is excellent.
Yeah.
And I've used this over cellular networks. In fact, we're using this over cellular network here, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, you can obviously flip the camera so you can show somebody what you're looking at.
You can look
at yourself too when you're doing a test call like this.
That was freaky. No, it works pretty well. It's not like Skype, which has got all these advanced features in it for business calls and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
It's a very basic, let's quickly make a video call. But it works really well. I think it's pretty cool.
The compression is very good, yeah.
The compression is great, yeah.
Well, that's one thing that FaceTime always did well, I thought.
The latency is good, too.
Yeah, the latency is good.
So that's my pick this week, Google Duo. If you haven't installed it, I was actually surprised how few people in my contacts actually have it installed. Because it's a really great platform, and if you're using FaceTime, it's a no-brainer to use this because it's cross-platform.
Yeah, exactly. I will definitely move it onto screen 2 of my iPhone. Thanks.
What's on screen 1?
Bank, Uber, iTunes, and TimeHop, which is one of my other favorite
apps. What's TimeHop?
TimeHop. Bonus pick, yeah. So TimeHop is an app. It's a great little app. It basically, you connect all your social networks onto it. And a lot of the other companies, Facebook and those guys, are also doing it now. They kind of ripped off the idea from them. But it kind of pulls out info from a year, two, three, 10 years ago. So anytime there's any cool things on your timelines, it'll just show it to you. Nice. So it's often nice. Oh, we recorded a podcast last year, episode 133. It's just popping up that I was mentioned in it. So it's almost like a rearview mirror into things that you did or mentioned online or what you posted. And that's very cool. It's a company, an app called, so they tell you 3 years ago, Time Hop.
There we go.
And you can create new photographs, say then and now. You can, you know, so you take a photograph of whatever you took a photograph of now, and it'll compare them side to side.
There we go. Bonus pick. We'll put that in the show notes.
Excellent.
Well, that's our show for this week. As always, wait, I always forget. Quiz results. Let's do those quiz results before I forget. Let me do the first question. How many set-top boxes have been made locally so far for South Africa's digital migration program? And the answer is 650,000, and they're all sitting in the post office right now.
That's a big number. Second question. When will the Constitutional Court hear the case between the Minister of Communications and MultiChoice versus ETV over encryption in set-top boxes? The answer, 17 February 2017.
Can't get you soon enough. Sony has announced a new PlayStation. What is it called? It's called the PS4 Pro. Are you going to get one?
I'm an Xbox. I'm an Xbox kind of guy.
Xbox. Did you ever see that? I think it was the two Ronnies. A ripoff of the Xbox on YouTube.
Yes. Those two brilliant. Are brilliant. Yeah.
go to YouTube again, and search Xbox. I think you just search Xbox and you'll find it. Yeah.
The fourth question. What is the name of the first ever standalone Star Wars movie being released in 3 months' time?
And neither of us will be watching it. Well, you're a Star Wars
fan. I will watch it, it's the hype around it. It's kind of lost to me now. I'll watch it when it comes out, and you know, I won't queue for it. But the answer is Rogue One. Rogue One.
I still need to see the new Star Trek movie, by the way, so I'm a bit slack here.
What do you mean there's a new Star Trek out? When I thought is it out in cinemas now?
It came out about a month ago on the cinema circuit. Oh, really? So I think it may be off the cinema circuit already, so I'm going to have to wait for the DVD release or Blu-ray release. Yeah, I'll wait till it's on streaming. And our last question is, because MTN this week announced that it has raised 3 loans. How much money did it raise? And we were looking for either the dollar or rand amount. And the answer, $1.3 billion, or 18.8 billion rand. And that sent the share price higher. And that's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, tell us what you think of our beer feature. Should we continue it? We think we should.
Yeah, I agree. I vote yes.
Let us know. info@techcentral.co.za, or leave a comment under the podcast entry on the website. Until next time, from Richard and myself, take care. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.